You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
So what does sexual energy have to do with creativity and creation? You'll find out today as I talk with the authors of Sexual Enlightenment, Freddie Zintal Weaver and Elspeth Moit, here on Full Power Living, the only program dedicated to showcasing the power and importance of human emotions. Talk to me on either of our chats at emotionalpro.com or blogtalkradio.com/FPL for Full Power Living. And we also, remember, have a toll-free number, 888-498-0570. That's 888-498-0570. And we certainly invite you to call in and make comment or ask questions. Dr. Elspeth Moit was born and raised in Germany. She's been developing her career over the past 40 years in the U.S. and Europe. She's been a management consultant and executive coach, and she has a doctorate in education and a master's degree in music, and she's also worked as an associate professor in Germany and in Boston. And Freddie Zintal Weaver was an outstanding software salesperson, a teacher and district-wide human relationship counselor in the Los Angeles Unified School District. And he is a performing artist with a one-man show that he's currently touring in the U.S. called Sexual Enlightenment. Now, that's who they are individually. But together, Elspeth and Freddie are the founders and directors of the Tantra Nova Institute in Chicago. They are internationally renowned workshop leaders, relationship and intimacy coaches, and certified Tantra yoga teachers. They offer retreats and workshops in the U.S., Canada, Europe, and Australia. And their best-selling DVD series called Creating Intimacy and Love was featured on Showtime's documentary series Sexual Healing and the Emmy Award-winning NBC show Starting Over. They're on the faculty at Esalen and Big Sur at Kripalu in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, and they lead couples retreats through the Young Presidents Organization. With that, Elspeth Moit and Freddie Zintal, welcome to Full Power Living.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Great to be here.
When I use the word sexual enlightenment, I think most people would think we're going to be talking a lot about sex and sexual acts, but when you talk about it, it's much more than that. So I wanted to ask you to start off by talking about those two dimensions of sexual enlightenment that you speak of in your book, because when we know those, I think we are going to better understand what you're sharing with us.
Let me start with respect to making the distinction here, or distinctions that we draw around sexual enlightenment. So there are two dimensions to our sexual self. One is the dimension where we are wired for our sexual self or sexual energy. It's built into us just like animals or just as plants. All three of these species are alive beings. They have life force energy, unlike a rock or floor. That, of course, has also frequency, however, it's not alive. The energy is not alive. So it's built into us, and it's in service of procreation, so that we would, you know, continue the species on this planet, very intelligently designed. So in order to create new life in a baby, we do not have to be conscious. It can happen just like with animals, you know. For example, a cow and a bull, when they go into mating season, they go into heat. And then once they have completed that experience, then it's very unlikely that the cow lays back comfortably in the chair with a cigarette in her hand, saying, "Wow, that was a beautiful lovemaking." So that doesn't happen with animals because they are not self-reflective. Unlike us human beings, which brings me to the second dimension of sexual enlightenment, which is that we can bring awareness and consciousness to our self, to our emotional self, to the way we think, and also to our sexual self. And with that, we can actually move that life force energy that is sexual in nature, creative, we can learn how to imbue our life, our relationships, our work with that creative energy.
When you say the life force energy, which is sexual in nature, what do you mean, Elspeth?
There's life force energy running through us all the time. It is not something we learn about in high school or college. We may learn about, you know, thermal energy, electrical energy, all kinds of forms of energy. However, we don't learn about our human energy. So at first, what we want to start is actually becoming aware of life force energy that runs through us all the time. It emanates from the base of the spine, moves up all the way to the top of the head, and then moves back down again. It does this all by itself. And in our practice, we bring awareness to that energy. And that energy is sexual in nature. It just most of the time shows up non-aroused. But we call that still sexual because that's the quality of the energy. Most of the time it's non-aroused or subtle, in a subtle state, and then at certain moments we get aroused in our self-love practice or in our practice with another, and that is usually what we call sexual energy or sex, you know, when it's related to that. However, you can already tell by what I'm unpacking here that that energy is much vaster than just for expressing it in the bedroom, and of course, the bedroom practice gets enhanced tremendously.
Mm-hmm. I'm impressed with how ubiquitous, how all-encompassing what you're talking about is. So, Freddie, do you have anything you want to... thank you, Elspeth. Do you have anything you'd like to add to that?
Well, you know, absolutely. One of the things that's unique about working with life force and sexual energy as a doorway to more intimately connecting with ourselves, thus everything else in our life, is that that energy is primordial. There's an intelligence there, and the kernel of that energy is creative. It creates life. It's, when it shows up, pleasure is there. And creativity and pleasure show up in a lot of areas of life, and whenever it does, things are usually working. What happens when we start bringing these dimensions of consciousness, as Elspeth just outlined, that are outlined in our book, to the sexual energetic, creativity and pleasure start showing up as a default way of listing and being in our life, in areas of life that seem completely unrelated to sex. That's like the intelligence of this dropping beneath, first learning the observer mind, or practicing those practices of really observing our conversations and thoughts, and then observing energetically and emotionally how those conversations and thoughts dictate how we respond and react in this physics, in this dimension that our physical self is in. So there are really very real-world results in working with what happens when we bring consciousness to the sexual energetic. When we're in it, we're more open, loving, vulnerable, receptive, more intimately connected with ourselves, with our partners. Chemically we change, oxytocin is released, endorphins are enhanced, serotonin. So that's the natural sort of intelligent state of what happens in that physics of working with sexual energy. So when we bring our consciousness to it, wow, we really go deep. So again, there can be more fun in the bedroom, and there's an all-encompassing effect in areas of life that seem completely unrelated to it.
Yeah, I want to talk with you a little later because as I was reading about the two of you, it's clear that you're very creative. So I want to talk with you about how you do that in your own life, but we'll do that later.
Sure.
One of the things you do in your book, Sexual Enlightenment, and most likely in your courses as well, is draw on the chakra system. Now,
yeah,
as most of our listeners know, there are 7 chakra energy vortices, and they interface with and support the body. And we need these chakras to be working well and the energy moving in order to be able to live and have a decent life. And you also talk about essentially the 3 lower chakras being connected to, if you will, physical life, and the 3 higher chakras being more connected to spiritual life, and the 4th chakra being the connector. Can you talk more about how that works?
Yes, I love to talk about that part.
Okay, good.
Because that's so, you know, where we really connect with ourselves, with our physical and our spiritual self. And we often in our culture have that so separate. We are so compartmentalized. You know, it's part of our Newtonian tradition and Cartesian tradition where things are component-based. However, we are a unity, both each human being, and then, of course, we can consider a relationship a unity, and then, of course, a community, all of it. So we want to start with ourselves, unifying ourselves. And just from a millennia-old understanding or awareness, the sexual really hasn't been something that we were trained, again, for generations to become aware of. It's more like something we shouldn't go to, you know, wait until you're married or don't touch yourself at your sexual center, or being slapped on the hand when we are an infant. And this is not just one individual's view. This is a collective view that has been around for several millennia. And so what we see the opportunity, where we see the opportunity is really to shift that so that we can reunify within ourselves, our physical, sexual being, with our spiritual, mental, and heavenly being. So we look at this just like yin and yang. They are two sides of the same coin. One couldn't be seen without the other, just like the black couldn't be seen if the white wasn't there of that yin-yang symbol, or the, you know, white couldn't be seen without the black there. So we are earthly beings and we are heavenly beings, and our three lower chakras, the grounded, the first chakra, the second creation chakra, and the power center, they tend towards the earthly. And as you said, the throat chakra and the third eye chakra and crown chakra towards our spiritual and heavenly being. And fortunately, we have a heart chakra, we call it the reconciler, that reconciles our earthly with our heavenly being. And there's something very curious about the heart chakra. We use that a lot in coming back into balance within ourselves and also in relationship, is that we focus on the heart chakra and breathe into our heart chakra and breathe into our beloved's heart chakra.
If I may add, Eileen, this is Freddie, that the chakras, you know, sometimes we get lost in, you know, meaning and so on, but it's very simple. You know, anybody in a body are familiar with these areas in our body. If we think of them as, you know, wheels of light where the physical world that is this dimension interact with the spiritual and emotional and energetic world. What happens when we bring areas, our consciousness to these areas, oftentimes stories come up like, you know, I couldn't speak at the wake, you know, fifth chakra, third chakra, or my heart was broken in the heart center, you know, power chakra, we use athletics and we, you know, have to grunt, it's in the power chakra. So it's a very real world connection to our body and what's happening physicalically. So when we start bringing these practices and awareness, what starts to happen is we start listening energetically. Before the conversation or the text starts, like if someone pulls in front of me in the car and I get upset right away, as opposed to being present to what's happening in my body energetically and emotionally, I can begin to shift what happens in the real world or in the physical world. And that's a real world result of really bringing consciousness at a deep level to our energetic and emotional self.
You know, we've been talking on this show for quite some time about the fact that we're in a time of transformation, a time of huge change. And from talking with you, I'm getting an even better idea of how what you are doing is very much involved in that, bringing this particular energy forward, helping us to transform it and move ourselves so that we can converse easily with the two aspects of ourselves.
Yes, and in a really very real world, it's a part of the evolving humanity that we are.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned earlier, we've been doing some work with the Young Presidents Organization, which is a business organization made up of CEOs throughout the world that manage large companies. And when we worked with a group down in Australia a few years ago, we had some very real world results. Napoleon Hill in Think and Grow Rich talked about transmutation of sexual energy. He didn't go into depth about it. and it gets kind of lost in, well, woo-woo, you know. But I think the whole thing's woo-woo when you think of, you know, single-celled amoebas, multi-celled organisms, the universe goes on for ad infinitum. And this energy was creating life before we were aware of our own existence as, you know, thinking Homo sapiens. So there is an intelligence that we're learning to draw on that will allow us to be better in terms of supporting life and supporting each other and continuing the evolving process.
I had the experience inside of myself of being given some information that most people may not wish to have about what is likely going to unfold in my life, and realizing that I need to hold that information and know it. I can't get rid of it once I've been alerted to it, but at the same time, I'm being called upon to be in the world. And I realized that this is one of the issues that we are all going to be facing, particularly this next generation or two where the transformation is occurring, of how do we be in our physical dimension and at the same time stay connected with the spiritual dimension, and what do we need? And this approach that you have is actually tailor-made for doing that.
Yes. Yes, that's really great. Wow. I feel so gotten by you. Yeah. Do you want us to speak a little bit about the aspects for our practices that we use to actually have that connection of being and staying in our body while being totally connected with
yes.
our spiritual self?
Yes, yeah? Please.
Okay, great. So there are three aspects we focus on, not only in our work, but also in our own daily practice, which has to do with connecting with our conscious breath. We breathe all the time. However, most of the time, it's just unconscious, or it happens by itself. Again, it's part of our biological impulse. Fortunately, it goes by itself. We don't have to think about it and turn it on all the time. However, when we bring awareness to the breath, we then breathe into the belly, which activates the parasympathetic nervous system, and that allows us to come to calm, to come to focus, to come to that place where we are all right. The second aspect is that we come into the observer state of mind or witness state of mind so that we are not swept away by our chatter mind that goes so incessantly all the time. You know, it's something like, what is she talking about? Or, oh my gosh, I didn't turn off the water downstairs. Like being preoccupied with something what I forgot perhaps in the past or what I may need to do in the future. That busyness, and to really come to our aware self in a conscious way, we want to drop into the witness state of mind. And the third aspect is to become aware of our human energy, as I mentioned it earlier, the energy that runs through us all the time, most in a non-aroused state or subtle state, and then at times aroused, and we also want to learn to bring awareness to that aroused state. And so to use these aspects in our daily practice, and that can happen, you know, like in a minute. It's not like I have to sit on the mat for an hour. However, I want to have it practiced so that my nervous system is familiar with it. And so then I can drop into that state of coming to calmness, watching my thoughts, versus being driven by my thoughts, and then I can just breathe up my energy and breathe down my energy all along the spine. So that allows us to be in the body while we are very connected with our third eye, our crown center, and beyond.
That's lovely. This is one of the practices that you offer free and downloadable on your site, is that correct?
Yeah, actually in the book, and when people buy the book, they get a link.
Ah.
Then they can access that.
We'll follow that down after our break. My guests today are the founders of the Tantra Nova Center in Chicago and authors of Sexual Enlightenment, Elspeth Moit and Freddie Zintal Weaver. We're talking about where love fits in when we return here on Full Power Living. As a parent, have you found all the parenting information you've been hearing lately a bit confusing? Are you having trouble sorting out the best response to your defiant child, or feeling hopeless about regaining respect from your teen, or determining whether your actions as a parent are the right ones? Instead of the usual pressures of parenting that you've been experiencing, you can partner with your child, raising incredible kids who are destined to become amazing adults. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, giving you the opportunity to become the incredible parent for incredible kids. We have the method and the tools. You bring your optimism for learning and the kids. Raise Incredible Kids offers a comprehensive system for raising kids who are responsible, make their own great decisions, and become immune to peer pressure. To get you ready for this new era in parenting, get my free 10-page report, Incredible Communication That Helps You Create Incredible Kids, by visiting RaiseIncredibleKids.com now. That's RaiseIncredibleKids.com. All right, welcome back to Full Power Living. I have just a few announcements. First, I'm so glad you're here. For 10 years, I've enjoyed bringing you conversations with people like Freddie and Elspeth, with whom we're talking this morning, who are working to help us all move through the transformation that's now occurring for us and for our world. I want to invite you to ask your friends and family to listen to Full Power Living, subscribe to the series free on iTunes, and you can also listen to our archives on emotionalpro.com when you're free to listen. Thank you, too, for helping us with our mission of sharing with the world the amazing transformative power of emotions. Next week, Hugh Brown is my guest. Hugh started his life in Harlem, and using his creativity and talent, he's created an amazing life in which he's been able to get to know and photograph people like former President Bill Clinton, Twilight Zone creator Rod Serling, and the Dalai Lama. He's now also a professional speaker telling his journey to inspire his audiences. His journey's been amazing, a combination of opportunity, talent, and personal creativity. So be sure to join me as we talk with Hugh Brown about how he's gone from militancy to spirituality and from Harlem to heaven, as he puts it. My guests today are Elspeth Moit and Freddie Zintal Weaver, who are authors of Sexual Enlightenment, founders of the Tantra Nova Center, and teachers who've helped over 10,000 couples and singles to rekindle and expand their love and relationships. And before we get back into the meat of this, you two come from very different backgrounds. Elspeth, you come from a German family and upbringing in which stepping into your own sexual life was greeted as a bit scandalous. And Freddie, your father was a psychiatrist who worked in this area and offered you support and encouragement and facilitated your sexual expression as that part of your life opened up. And I want to say I also like that you grew up in a houseboat in Sausalito. I lived on a houseboat in Seattle 5 years, and it's a lovely way to live. So coming from these two backgrounds, how did the two of you come together to do the work that you do?
Well, as you mentioned earlier, I was in the software business in San Francisco for about 20 years, and I had continued doing these practices, which I had been introduced to when I was 15 years old, and I kept reading and doing workshops and applying this in my personal relationships. And anyway, I was at a time in my career where I was unsatisfied with what I was doing with my life and felt that there was more that I wanted to offer and have more joy in my life. So I thought a new city, so I took a job with a company that hired me and moved me to Chicago. I had been in San Francisco, and that was 13 years ago, and I really came there to meet Elspeth, who was on her own Tantra journey, and we combined our resources and created Tantra Nova, and, you know, the rest is history. But, yeah, I was very lucky living, knowing my father and having him as my father. I learned so much from him. And, yeah, living on a houseboat in Sausalito was really a wonderful experience early in life, and then went to high school in Hawaii, same school as Barack Obama, Punahou.
Oh, wow. But, you couldn't miss. Look at all the things that were falling together for you.
I know. I ran into him when he was senator in Chicago, and told him about our institute and gave him a card. And, you know, I've been waiting for him to call us to the White House for the Tantra Commission's. We haven't gotten the call yet. You know, and really, at the deepest level, this is really about world peace. As you mentioned, you know, we're in this evolving process in the world. And I can't think of anything more spiritual than sexual energy. Yet it's so encompassed and so enshrouded in shame and guilt and fear and story. But when we're in it, we are the most loving, vulnerable, wonderful creatures. So really learning how to draw on the subtleties of that energy and manifesting more of that. And I'm not talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm talking about the essence of that connectedness, that seeing ourselves in each other, is really the key to our next evolutionary jump and leap in our spiritual consciousness.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Elspeth, you want to tell us about your own side of this?
Yes. I wish I would have had a dad who would have raised me like Freddie Zantal was raised, you know, was being introduced to sex consciousness in his teens. As you mentioned, I grew up in Germany. I do also remember that when I was a child, I felt very free with my body during the hot summer days. So what we did was we pulled our umbrellas out to protect ourselves against the sun and walked butt naked through the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And we didn't seem to find that strange at all. That's just what we did. However, that totally changed when I hit puberty. My relationship with my dad shifted. I got very interested in boys and curious about my sexual self, to the chagrin of my parents. However, I did whatever I wanted to do anyway. It was not always that easy. So that is how I grew up. And then when I came to this country, within a couple of years, I was then in my early 30s, I started to date and noticed that I was very dissatisfied in my relationship, because what happened, what I noticed was that male sexual energy is so different than feminine sexual energy. Male sexual energy rises quickly, gets easily excited and drops quickly, and feminine sexual energy rises slowly. If it's reawakened, it then plateaus. So often it felt like, you know, he came and went while I still was hanging out there, both literally and figuratively. Uh-huh. And fortunately, I had a woman friend who gave me this book, The Tao of Sex. There are two traditions that we draw on in our work. One is Taoism, and there's a particular form of the Tao, which is called the Tao of Sex, and then Tantra, which comes from India. And both traditions subscribe to the same principles, which is about, you know, reconnecting consciously with one's life force energy, the sexual energy, and then learning to channel that energy. So I got very intrigued because what it mentioned in the book was that a male can separate ejaculation from orgasm. I'd never heard about that. I thought that was really cool. And because if a man can do that, he can sustain his wonderful energy and stay present to himself and to his partner. And so I started doing practices from book, however, not until into my late 40s that I started to take workshops. At that time, I was a management consultant. It really affected me so greatly and shifted my physical being, how I created relationship then through that practice. I went into a certification program, and at the end of the certification program, I was determined to find someone who would be either very interested in practicing Tantra or already was practicing Tantra. And guess who showed up? Freddie Zantal, who grew up in a tantric household. So, and we met, I invited him over for dinner, and the rest is history.
Pretty good manifesting there, Elspeth. Very
yeah.
good.
So yeah, she's pretty good at that.
You made a statement there, Elspeth. You said that you did a lot of emotional healing. So the question I have is, how does sexual healing create emotional healing?
Yeah, you know, they are so integrally connected. So just if I could share an example from my own life, because I think So as part of my own practice and study, what showed up for me, there's a particular healing practice for the woman, and healing not that there's something wrong with us or we are sick, healing in terms of coming back to wholeness. and integration. And this practice is designed for the woman to connect more with her sexual self. The sexual center in Sanskrit is called yoni. Yoni means sacred space, very different from our clinical vagina or other not so endearing terms for our sexual center. Just imagine if we as adolescent kids would be introduced to our sexual center as our sacred space, what that would, you know, bring about. So anyway, this practice is for the woman to listen to her yoni, and there she works with either her partner or a practice partner. At that time when I did my certification program, the Freddy was not in my life yet, so I worked with a practice partner. And in that healing practice, when I was touched, and it's not about having sex, it's not about now, you know, bringing the woman to orgasm. If orgasm shows up, it's wonderful, but it's we move with whatever the yoni wants to explore, wants to be listened to, wants to heal. And in that process, when I was touched around 11 o'clock, when we divide, you know, the yoni up with 12 o'clock where the clitoris is or the pearl, then around 11 o'clock when I was touched there, a vivid memory came up from the first time when I had intercourse with my first boyfriend. And I had agreed to it, so it was not forced on me. However, it was very painful. So we had to stop. I had to go to the gynecologist, and the gynecologist took care of the hymen that hadn't fully opened up. And then the bill from the gynecologist went home to my house. My father opened it, and all hell broke loose. So my yoni really felt like she needed to protect herself, and I felt very alone in the experience, misunderstood. And also, like, all these men were against me, my boyfriend, the gynecologist, my dad. Of course, for my adult self now, I can see that they did whatever they did. It had very little to do with me. But back then, that was not available. So I closed off. And in my 30s, I went to therapy, and that really helped to look at the feelings and to be able to express what was there for me. And so I thought that was completed. However, little did I know that there was some residual memory on the cellular level in my yoni walls, my vaginal walls, which is very typical in women, and we all humans hold memory throughout the body in our nervous system. However, when do we go to our yoni to actually just listen to her?
This is Intal. I wanted to add, in terms of this, these practices in the sexual energetic, healing emotional self, when we go to the energetic or the emotional or sexual self, we are more open, loving, vulnerable, receptive. So that gives us really more access to this subconscious emotional text and experience and story that's running in the background that often is clouding our ability to change things that don't work in our life. That's where the healing practices become very powerful in working with sexual energetic.
Somebody's coming to the rescue.
How that becomes a way to, again, shift things that seem to be something that we are subjected to, that we have an inability to change. And this is how these practices can be very healing and have very real-world results.
Thank you.
Yeah, and then just what opened up through re-experiencing this unpleasant incident was that out of releasing whatever was left there on that, you know, cellular level that was not accessible through my conscious mind, so I couldn't talk about it, by clearing that, by releasing it, what opened up for me was deeper trust in myself, deeper trust in men in general. And then 6 months later, Freddy Santal showed up, correlated to my own clearing that I could recognize, you know, the human being that I resonate with and who resonates with me.
Yes, you know, when I listen to this story that is unfolding, I was a single parent and my oldest child was a daughter. And I remember having a conversation with a friend of mine one time because I was facilitating my daughter's coming of age in her sexual self. And my friend was irate. This happened to be in Marin County where you lived, Freddie. And she was berating me, and I said to her, it feels to me like this is a privilege that I have to help my budding adult open to this aspect of her life as she's ready to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And she still couldn't get that, and I finally said, well, I work on the basis of principle, so when I get the principle, I reserve the right to tell you what it is. And it came to me a short time later that truth is more important to me than virginity.
Very good.
I certainly wish more parents would be open as you are helping people to learn to be.
Yeah, this is absolutely phenomenal what you contributed to to your daughter.
Well, thank you.
Yes, yes. You know, I think that really information's out there, and the information dissemination highway being the internet is really assisting information getting to people and really elevating in a more rapid opportunity the spread of this information. And I think there'll come a critical mass where we're more accepted, and I feel that the work that Elspeth and I are doing is really making those inroads.
While I hear that, and I appreciate it, another thing that I read is that going to the internet all the time or using your smartphone is not helping people have relationship. This work requires the experience of relationship, does it not?
Absolutely. And I think that there's a healthy balance that I think can be met with not throwing out all the cell phones and using them in a way that allows us to connect with people in a real world. And I think that that's where the balance is. Still pretty new. So it's like, you know, we're kind of like still sussing it out in terms of the balance.
Let me go on to my next question then. And that is love. You talk in your book, Sexual Enlightenment, you talk about romantic, universal, and unconditional love. And you also, in the early 90s, I wrote a book, a manual for parents, that I called The ABCs of Love. And in my research, I was informed that love is love is love, that you're loving yourself or you're loving somebody else. What matters is that you're loving. And I think we're very compatible on that. So I'd like to have you talk about that.
Beautiful, beautiful. So we focus, back to the chakras. In the book, we focus on three major chakras. One is the creation chakra or sexual center, the heart chakra, the love center, and the third eye chakra, the intuitive center. And so when we come to the heart chakra, the love, just as you said, it's like being loved, loving, and being loved are all one. However, it's something for us as humankind to actually mature into. When we grow up as children, love is very much associated with if my dad gives me his attention or not, if I'm considered doing well, if I'm approved of. So we are looking for these cues outside to have a sense of being loved and accepted. So when we then grow into adulthood, we often stay in that place and we are looking for love outside, which is really not to be found. And then if we are fortunate, we really come to grips with that, oh, wow, there's already love within me. Always has been. I am love, and I'm opening my heart to sharing and to receiving love, not because I need it. It's part of co-creating with another. And so that's really, for me, I consider it a maturing process from that, you know, romantic love, which is often associated with infatuation and that feeling good, and it's great in the beginning, and having unconditional love with the romantic love is just superb. However, if I stay just in the state of romantic love, then I really need another to feel love.
I think Elspeth and I both transcended the romantic drama pretty early in our relationship in creating Tantra Nova. It became like our baby. It really fulfilled both of our opportunities to be authentically actualized in the world in our fullest capacities of who we were and what we had to offer. I think that in relationship, we have the opportunity to see something about ourselves that we otherwise wouldn't see if we were just not in relationship. And we can create them a lot of different ways. So
I have long suggested that, you know, our earth is a concrete environment and we get feedback very quickly so that we can grow faster that way. And I believe that's what relationships are all about.
Yes. One of the biggest things in a relationship is to allow the other to be fully who they are, because that really allows one of the primary edicts of the tantric practices of all the variations there are is to say yes, which is transcending the ego. So when you say yes to what someone else wants, even though it sparks in the face of what you might think they should want, because we, you know, so ego identifies in relationship and emotionally project, it really is an opportunity to, again, flatten all this story and stuff that gets in the way of being with the isness of the now and moving towards what we want to create.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a story you could share of someone who came from a place of sexual blockage? I know you told us some of yours, Elspeth, and I appreciate that. But they were able to integrate this sex, love, and consciousness so that they could evolve. Some ordinary, on-the-street person.
Mm-hmm. Darling, do you want to take it or you want me to do it?
You can go ahead.
Okay, great. So, yeah, I'm thinking of a gentleman who came to us, very successful in the insurance business, in his, you know, around late 30s, early 40s. And he came to us for a couple of reasons. One was not very fulfilled and satisfied in his relationship with women. The other one, that he really wanted to shift his career and become an actor. And was stuck there. Had been dreaming about it, and, you know, but money was good with the career he was in, and didn't see a way out. Really, the opening for him was first to connect with his sexual energy as a creative energy. Now, in the process of that, he faced his arrogance, the way he distanced himself in order to actually not be vulnerable. So, he was in a process here at Tantranova over a couple of years, and that opening into his vulnerable self, which had to do with really feeling and facing his disappointments when he grew up with his dad, but it took a willingness to go there. That is what he had shielded himself from, not to feel. And that didn't come out right away in the work. It really took a while. However, in that opening, he connected more with his heart, with his love, and he started to alter with women, where he shared himself more openly and, you know, generously. That is, of course, inviting to women, because that is the place where women want to be connect with a heart. The other dimension that really opened up for him, how he used sex and his sexual energy in order to get what he wanted, in the sense of alluring women into, you know, having sex and having this temporary gratification. And not that this is bad, it's the only way of engaging with oneself and with others. It's very limited. So he learned to channel he really applied himself very consciously to become aware of his energy, sexual energy, learned how to channel his energy from his sexual center to his heart center, and became actually quite disciplined. He even had a whole phase when he didn't engage with women because he felt like that was pulling him back. So for a while he was not engaging in sex, however, did his self-love practices and cultivated that energy so that he then became able to connect his life force with his love energy.
I wanted to add that in his process of learning to connect that heart energy or sexual energy with his heart energy, which again is one of the primary edicts for people, men particularly, in the tantric practices, learning to separate ejaculation from orgasm, we begin to transcend how this energy unconsciously has us in a lusting way or a self-serving way. And what happens also for the man is it opens up a wider range of emotional possibility. And for this particular person who is really wanting to act, actors and actresses really have to have access to these other emotions. So it really broadened his range in terms of emotional accessibility, more aliveness, more experience, but particularly in terms of his work and what he wanted to do, these practices really assisted him in so many areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he now is an actor in L.A. So, I mean, has huge potential for shifts on the personal, the professional, all kinds of levels.
One of the things that I've been looking at in my own work in the last couple of years, anyway, I've done a lot of work on what I call energy sapping, which we could also call codependence or manipulation, which it sounds like this man, you know, used his sexuality as a manipulative tool.
Mm-hmm.
What I've come to is that manipulation really is something that belongs in childhood. We're supposed to grow out of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm interested that the approach that you have helped this man grow out of the manipulation that occurred as he matured his relationship with his own sexual energy.
I think he became aware. I think it's an ongoing process. My sense for myself and my own personal growth with things that were I was unconscious to, as I become conscious to them, to do the practices, to stay conscious, to, again, to continue to flatten and move towards my intention, which might be to move beyond whatever that unconscious area of my life might have been. So it's an ongoing process, which is what we find with people who come to do these practices, and they feel so good, and they see the changes, and then they go home, and they do it for a while, and then they fall off the wagon, and then they come back like we have some magic. But it's really in the practices. You know, this is yoga of the energetic body, one of the original yogas in terms of, and it's all energy, so.
Yeah, well, it's sort of like New Year's resolutions, huh?
Right, that's right.
As I tell people in my psychotherapy practice, don't worry if you don't get it right away. The universe won't give up.
It'll keep you accountable.
Oh, that's great. That's,
just keeps coming up again and again and again, that's all.
That's the opportunity, right? That's
it. Yeah.
And talking about practices, Arlene, you know, we have these 10 free practices for your listeners on our website.
Okay.
If they go to download it, they are called Creating Intimacy in Love, and that could be a great next step just to look them over and see which one they may want to start focusing on.
Tell me the website while you're talking, Freddie. Go ahead.
www.tantranova.com. That's TANTRANOV, like Victor, A.com, tantranova.com.
Great.
And I guarantee if they do these practices, they will see things to change in how they are experiencing their life, how they work with their emotions, how they listen and make requests.
Well, we've come to the point where we need to stop. This has been a very fascinating discussion. I'm, you know, from doing this radio program, I get to talk with people like you who have your approach to this transformation that's going on, and it's so clear that, you know, there are many pathways to God, and this one sounds like it's working really, really well, and one that we don't usually think about. So I'm really appreciative of both of you for seeking this out for yourself and then sharing what you've learned with others, which I think is the absolute pinnacle of what any of us can do here on this earth.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. And all your listeners can also get the book on our website, Sexual Enlightenment, because that is really then an in-depth exploration. There's also a home study course, both hard copy and downloadable. So there are a lot of resources people can start to get to start their journey to sexual enlightenment.
Wow. That's all
right.
So that's tantranova.com. Well, your lives are obviously examples of what life can be as a result of sexual enlightenment. I experience you both as creative. You're certainly helpful to others in the world. You allow yourselves to embrace your power. You're loving. You're compassionate. And clearly you're open to relating. So I've decided that's a very powerful brand and an enticing possibility. And for you who are listening, let me remind you that Elsbeth and Freddie's book is entitled Sexual Enlightenment. Once again, Freddie and Elsbeth, thank you so much for the work you're doing and also for bringing your work to us here on Full Power Living today.
Thank you so much,
thank
Arlene.
Thank you so much.
It's
thank
been
you,
such
Arlene.
A pleasure being with you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, that's good. I've enjoyed having you too. Thank you. Next week, the charming and fascinating Hugh Brown is my guest, talking about the life he's lived as he stayed open to his own creativity and his talents and his life flow. That's March 27th, Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. Thank you, Paul Johnson of Fresh Talk Media, for your dedicated service as our Full Power Living producer. For now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you, pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.